Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply. Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Welcome to Warriors Wrap-Up.
And Rob Curry takes another three. It's up and good! He's got 62!
On 95.7, the game.
Pass to Wiseman off the pick, and he flies in for a dunk. Jam! Oh, by Oubre! He caught it right at the restricted area and slammed it home with a left hand.
Here's John Dickinson and Ryan Covey.
Curry splits traffic. Head fake, steps into a three, no. Bounce pass to Draymond. Rotates out, goes to JTA to Curry. By the Chase Center, sign! He rattled another one home.
He may set a record tonight for length of three-point shots.
Well, what can't Stephen Curry do? He was amazing, even on a night where he was a little bit off. Still going for 37 points. All that stuff, Ryan Covey, we talked about in the pregame that we didn't want to see from the Warriors. You know, lackluster effort early, poor defense, let the Kings get comfortable and believe that they can win this basketball game. Well, Warriors did all of those things that we talked about that we didn't want to see tonight. But they were still able to somehow, some way, with a little bit of good fortune and a whole lot of grit, they were able to figure out a way to walk out of Chase Center with a 117-113 win over the Sacramento Kings. Kind of an ugly night, although it was a very loosely played game. It got kind of tough-minded down the stretch a little bit. A win is a win. This is not a win you feel great about, but as we like to say, it's better than the alternative.
Yeah, amen to that, and you're right, JD. I thought Sac came in. They look well-rested. The Warriors maybe looked a little fatigued. The games have been coming fast and furious. It's something everybody's dealing with, but, you know, you can compound that with the fact that the Warriors are playing with a pretty short rotation right now. So, they let Sac get rolling early. Sac was hitting their threes. You know, Buddy Hield had a big first quarter. Harrison Barnes was going, too. So you thought, uh-oh, look, buckle up, you know. And to the Warriors' credit, even when they weren't hitting their shots to the clip that Sacramento was, they were still doing enough defensively and scoring just enough to keep it close. You look up after a quarter, Warriors down 7. I mean, Sac's largest lead of the game was 9, and I think at times it felt like maybe it had stretched out to a little bit more than that. But you figured, hey, look, this game's going to be decided down the stretch. All credit to Tyrese Haliburton, by the way, who I thought, you know, single-handedly tried to carry Sac to victory in this one. But the Warriors made just enough plays down the stretch. You know, Holmes missing a couple of free throws. That was big for them. The tip-in from Draymond. Just different guys contributing. And then, as you mentioned, Steph Curry just doing all Steph things. And so they got the win. And look, JD, when the Warriors season is over and, you know, we're done with 72 games, this one isn't going to stand out really one way or another, except the fact that it really would have stood out had you not won it.
Yeah, no, I think that's a great point. 888-957-9570, 888-957-9570. It's Warriors wrap up here on 95.7 The Game. So the Warriors get the win. They've won 4 in a row at home. They've won 7 of 9 overall now, and they are 31-30 with 11 games to go. They'll close out the homestand on Tuesday night against the Dallas Mavericks. So the Warriors, they keep pace with Memphis, just running it down here quickly. The Grizzlies won in Portland this afternoon, so the Warriors now, even still with the Spurs, percentage points behind them, so still technically in 10th. The Grizzlies, one game back, are both the Warriors and the Spurs. As far as the 8th spot, the Warriors just 1.5 back of Portland now for 7th, and 3 back of the Mavs, who were in Chase Center on Tuesday night for the 6th spot, and maybe avoiding the play-in tournament altogether. If the Warriors are going to have a shot at that, then Tuesday night's game against Dallas is going to be a must-win. Some of the things tonight, I think you mentioned Draymond Green. He did a little bit of everything, and I thought tonight was the kind of game where, you know, for all the nights that we can get on Draymond a little bit for is he bringing it or not, or does the stat line maybe match the impact. I thought tonight there was a lot of real grit and grind in Draymond's game, a lot of will to kind of push this team forward toward a victory when a lot of things weren't really going well. And you look up at the end of the night, 8 points, not two, which is a good thing. 13 assists to go with 14 boards, and he was just kind of everywhere. You mentioned the big rebound put back late that helped the Warriors, but I think tonight was a game where, as much as Steph was the headliner in scoring 37, Draymond kind of willed this team, as he's prone to do when they've had some big wins over the years.
Yeah, this is kind of the template, right, JD? You get enough help from other guys, but really it's Draymond leading the point offensively, being the distributor and being the anchor defensively, and Steph doing the lion's share of the scoring, a lot of it with the three-point shot. Like, that's how the Golden State Warriors win, when they're rolling. And I think Draymond had a terrific effort tonight. And let's face it, we're in crunch time now. This is winning time. And what you hope, JD, is for those nights that, let's just say that I perceived that maybe Draymond made some business decisions during this season, well, that was all with the fact that this team down the stretch is going to need him to be able to bring it every single night. And maybe the fact that he did that earlier in the year, he's got a little bit extra in the tank now in order for him to do it when it matters most. And Draymond's built for clutch situations. He's clearly, for playoff games. Like, when games slow down, as it did in the second half, I mean, you look in the first quarter, 39-32. You look in the fourth quarter, 23-21. I mean, space was a lot harder to come by out there. Draymond gets a ton of credit for that, but he's tailor-made for this type of season, like this portion of the season, and what these games mean and the kind of effort that's required. So absolutely, I agree. No question, Draymond Green was a huge reason why the Warriors, I'll say, snuck out at Chase Center with a win tonight.
Yeah, offensive rebounds, another one. At the line, 16 offensive rebounds, 16 to 10 in terms of second chance points. So the Warriors a plus six in that category in a game that they win by four. The extra field goal attempts in this one for the Warriors, they wound up going to the free throw line seven fewer times than Sacramento did, but they wound up with nine more field goal attempts in this ball game and five more field goal makes, which helped offset that. And a lot of it was the one Kevon Looney possession where he got four offensive rebounds and a put back on one. But it was that kind of night. Like, nothing was easy. It was, in a lot of ways, the Warriors' own fault that nothing was easy, but yet they kept pushing through. And the Kevon Looney play, kind of indicative of the night. They kept pushing through and did just enough. He did just enough to score that possession. The Warriors did just enough to get a win after a night where they really didn't come out with the type of intensity, focus, effort level defensively that you would want to see. Although we talked about it on the pregame, and this is the kind of game that was tailor-made for the Warriors maybe to overlook their opponent coming off a big win with a much more important game, at least on paper, on Tuesday night.
Yeah, no doubt. And these kind of games happen in the NBA all the time, right? And, the Warriors, I wouldn't even say the Warriors are a good basketball. They're a solid basketball team. They're a winning basketball team now, and that's relevant. But my point is, good basketball teams sometimes don't have their A game against lower tier competition. It's hard to always get up for these games. And as I mentioned, they're coming fast and furious. And I know you would push back tonight if I said, you got to give the Kings some credit, right? Because,
yes.
Sometimes,
yes.
Yeah. No, I know. And I agree. I will say this. The Kings have enough capable offensive players, even without Bagley and of course, with Fox being out, between, Hield, his shooting ability, Halliburton. We know Barnes can score a little bit. So they have enough where, if you don't show up and you don't bring the effort, the Kings are perfectly happy to go out there and trade baskets with you. And if you're not hitting your threes, well, you could find yourself down nine, which the Warriors did. So, this wasn't anything you're going to get a ton of style points for. But the fact that they got it done tonight, JD, now it sets up where, hey, look, if you had any aims on catching the Dallas Mavericks, beating them a couple of nights from now in the Chase Center is going to be obviously at the very top of that priority list, but at least you earned the right to do it. And it's, it was a hokey start, late night on a Sunday, Kings were rested. Like, you're right. You called it in the pregame, man. You said this is a scary game. It's got the makings of, the Warriors maybe being in trouble if they get off to a sluggish start and keep sacking the game. It's exactly what happened. But you do get credit for doing enough down the stretch. Most NBA games are won in the fourth quarter. This one was no exception, and they did do you enough down the stretch, just got enough little contributions. And I'm glad you mentioned the offensive rebounding, too. Obviously, Loon had the big chunk, but I thought Kelly Oubre, 4 offensive rebounds for him. I mean, both of these teams are bad rebounding teams, bad offensive rebounding teams. They're all, both right near the bottom in both of those categories. So if somebody could get the advantage down in the paint, get second chance points, extra possessions, and ultimately, you know, you can draw a straight line between the Warriors having those extra possessions and making those 5 more field goals and the fact that they won the game when it was all said and done. So they created their own, I don't want to call it luck, but they created their own reality tonight by doing some of the little things when it mattered most.
Yeah, absolutely. Good and bad. They created their own yep. reality tonight. They created the bad, and I agree with you on Sac. I mean, if you watch them on a you know season-wide basis, they pull off a lot of wins, actually, kind of like tonight, where teams don't take them seriously, and that's exactly what they do. They come out, and they do have capable offensive players to where if the game is loose, they can beat you that way. I mean, that's a team that's – you know, beat Denver 3 times out of 3 this year. So they've been able to do it. Beat Boston twice. You know, so they've been able to do it from time to time this season. Exactly the way that they would have done it tonight if the Warriors had allowed to. Let's get to some phone calls. 888-957-9570. Let's get to Al in Alameda. You're up next here on 95.7 The Game. Hey, Al.
Yes. Hi. Good evening. Thank you for taking my call. Yes. I'm just calling. You know. I'm happy we won here, and I'm not really thrilled because the performance here at the crunch time here. We should have lost this game. I'll be honest. Okay, we got a call from the referee there that Curry. I'm pretty sure he hacked his I don't know his name right on about a minute and a half. He fouled
Holmes,
him. Okay,
yeah.
Okay. They dug down there, and he had a mentally breakdown there. He did not call a foul. He got trapped there. And we got lucky. Buddy Hield, he missed a simple layup. I'm not layup. I mean, he bumbled a ball there.
Yeah.
We should have been behind 1 point there. Okay. That game should have been for Sacramento. We got lucky there. We dodged a bullet there. And Green, he needs to be careful more. The way he passed the ball, he get careless there. He must have like 4 or 5. He got more turnovers, I think, or tied. Then he scored tonight. I see a lot of that from him. Sometimes Kerry, they get careless on passing, you know, behind the back over. That's got to calm down sometimes. And they scare me. If they make it to that number 8-9 seed there, they have to calm down in this passing. Green is holding the ball, you know, like he's bringing the ball down. And his passing.
Al, let me jump in. Let's jump in. Good stuff. A lot of different things to chew on. I'm not going to go as far as to say that the Warriors deserve to lose the game. Now, if the Warriors had lost the game, they would have deserved to lose the game. I'll give you that one just right off
yeah,
the
yeah,
top.
Yeah.
Like they deserved to win it because they did enough and they had a few things go their way. Maybe Sacramento. I mean, that's part of the reason that they have the record that they do now. And are, you know, out of the playoff race at this point, you know, because they fail to win games like that too sometimes when they have opportunities to win. And at a higher clip than even the Warriors, who, you know, that's been obviously a big, you know, point of contention for this team. As far as a couple of the other things there, you know, you look at it. This is not the kind of game for me where I'm going to look at it and say, well, because you lose this game, it means you can't do X or Y in the playoffs. Like, I'm not going to go down that road. Because you didn't win by 30 tonight means you can't be a problem for a team, you know, in the playoffs. I know that's been kind of the popular vernacular to use around here of late. To me, you get the win. Each game is kind of its own entity. Now, if you lose it, that's a different story, but I'm willing as much as it was just I thought it was one of the poorer efforts the Warriors have had, to be honest, in the last month, certainly since they got hot. I mean, probably since the Washington game. But if you win it, I'll give you the benefit of the doubt, and I don't want to go too far down the path of, well, tonight means you can't do X when you play X, Y, or Z.
Nah, you're right. I mean, this game was its own deal. It's a rubber match game against a well-rested team. I'll say this, the type of execution that the Warriors had for long stretches of this game, not good enough to win against better competition, certainly playoff-level competition. I'm saying a playoff game. I'm saying playoff-caliber teams, winning basketball teams. Like, this effort typically will get you beat, but the fact that they did it against the Kings, who didn't have De'Aaron Fox, made it to where they could still find a way to survive. So I'll go there. And the other thing is, you know, the turnovers can be a problem for this team. I mean, Steph had seven of them tonight. Steph's playing his ass off. He's carrying this team. He's entitled to a requisite number of turnovers. But, you know, Steph can get a little careless with the rock sometimes, or especially early. I felt like, you know, it took him a while to kind of get calibrated, if you will. It seemed like they were just a little off kilter. And we know that, you know, Draymond, he handles the rock a ton. So it's one of those where, you know, anybody that's going to handle the ball as much as he does and have the number of assists that he does is also going to have a certain amount of turnovers. It's just, it's implied. It's part of the deal. And, you know, look, so you look at Draymond's stats tonight. Okay, four turnovers, not great, but he had 13 assists, so he had better than a 3-to-1 assist-to-turnover ratio. You're going to be in the NBA a long time if you have a plus side over 3-to-1 assist to turnover ratio. So Draymond's doing fine there. Just, you know, the Steph, the seven turnovers, not great, but he also scored those 37 points and helped carry you to victory. So there's that.
Yeah, and look, the bottom line is you come out in a play-in game and you play that loosely, and because to me that's what it was. It was, you know, Steph with the turnovers. That was, hey, I'm showing up. The Kings don't play any defense. This is going to be kind of a walk in the park game. I mean, that to me is they all played that way, but that's why Steph had some of the careless turnovers, you know, early in the game. That's a big part of the reason why the Warriors got down. They didn't play good defense early. Look, you do that against Memphis, or you do that against Dallas or San Antonio or Portland in a play-in type of a scenario, you're going to get beat. But at the same time, I don't think the Warriors would come out and play that lackadaisically in a do-or-die game or in a win and you're in a playoff series kind of a game. Maybe I'm wrong, and if they do it, then we're going to be talking about it probably for a couple of hours on the night that game is played, and we'll be going crazy about it. But I don't feel like, if anything, this Warriors team has shown – in particular against that group of teams that they may face, that they're actually going to be in for a real good fight on those nights, looking to try and either survive in advance or advance. So I think tonight still is a little bit of an outlier on that front.
Yeah, and here's the thing. The Warriors have been playing a lot of important games. You know, when they dipped several games under 500, all of a sudden every game really started to matter. And, you know, for the most part, the last couple of weeks, the Warriors have had some very focused and very determined performances. You're not going to be able to bring it like that every single night. You're going to have some clunkers along the way. If you can win those clunkers, then you're really going good, right? And you know, they should have won the Washington game the other day. Didn't do it, but for the most part, against a lower-tier opposition, even when they haven't been at their best this year, they found a way to win. So they got it done tonight, and now, like I said, you're back over 500 for the first time in about 5 weeks, and you've got an opportunity on Tuesday night against the Dallas Mavericks to maybe take a big step in the right direction. So let's just say the Warriors aren't going to be full of false bravado and confidence going into that Dallas game. They're going to feel like they needed to play a whole hell of a lot better than they did tonight. And I think this team plays better when they're a little down on themselves and their backs to the wall. Not long-term or anything. I mean, you want to be a confident basketball team, but just when they're not getting too comfortable. I guess that's a better way to put it. When they're not getting too cozy and too comfortable with how they're playing, when they've got a little bit of uneasiness and a little bit of edge to them, I think that's when they oftentimes can bring out their best performance. It's kind of when we start to see some reasons to doubt them, that's usually when they'll find another gear. So hopefully they'll do that a couple of nights from now on. And the good news is they beat the Kings tonight. So it doesn't matter if you beat a team by 55 or you beat them by one. Dub's a dub, baby.
888-957-9570, 888-957-9570. It's Warriors Wrap-Up. He's Ryan Covey. I'm John Dickinson. We'll pause here. We'll come back. We'll hear from the head coach of the Warriors, Steve Kerr. We'll also get some post-game press conference sound on the players' side of things as well. As Warriors Wrap-Up rolls on here, who's hot and who's not, all of that is coming up next right here, Warriors Wrap-Up, 95.7 The Game.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Back to Looney, give and go to Draymond. Pump fake back to Looney. It's a two-man passing drill. No good, Looney. Guys on rebound. Tip, no good. Third try for Looney. Comes up, blocked again. Gets it back up and laid it in.
What, do they have about seven offensive rebounds in possession?
Wow.
Yeah, we'll take it. It was not our finest hour, particularly the first quarter, you know, when we gave up 39 points. I thought Sacramento played extremely well. They were really well prepared and attacked us and really took it to us from the outset. Our defense improved. You know, we were able to squeak it out, but that was a really difficult game, and we were lucky to escape with the win.
Now, back to Warriors Wrap-Up with John Dickinson and Ryan Covey on 95.7 The Game.
Ugly but effective for the Warriors in this one tonight as they beat the Kings 117-113 as the Dubs improved to 31-30. 3,252 inside Chase Center tonight. I know Steve Kerr mentioned in his post-game Zoom session, Covey, that they're going to be really ramping up the numbers here as things progress. Maybe more of that on Tuesday, and then that final homestand with six games to go on the season. And the Warriors, I think they had about 2,000 in there on Friday for the first game back, and all the way up to 3,200 tonight. So things are moving, and they're moving fast, and the crowd, no doubt, had an impact on this one down the stretch.
Yeah, and it's just great to see fans back at the Chase Center. Long time coming. You know, I know Butcher Boy texted us both while we were doing the pregame. He was going to the show with his pops tonight, or going to the game with his pops tonight. I'm looking forward to hopefully you and I getting out and doing a show or two at the Chase Center before this season's over. Like, we're all longing for this stuff. And look, not at a moment too soon. Warriors are in a stretch drive situation. They're fighting to move up in that play-in tournament, or maybe even, you know, move up out of the play-in tournament. But having fans at the Chase Center, having Dub Nation represented in the building, that can only help the Dubs, who, by the way, you know, have got a pretty nice little home record they're putting together this year, JD. What, 19-10 now at home? So it's been a really good home season for them, and a really quirky year where a lot of teams don't have good home records. I mean, think about it. Portland, Memphis, a lot of these teams that the Warriors are playing against for these spots are struggling at home. So it would behoove the Warriors to continue to play well with where they've got their fill of home games here coming up in the final 11 games of the year. So, yeah, absolutely. Great to see Warrior fans. And I do agree with Steve Kerr's assessment there on that sound coming in, JD. The Warriors, they stole this one tonight, but that's okay. You got to steal games sometimes. And they did it, beat the Kings in the season series in the process, paying back for that loss a couple of weeks ago. And so it doesn't matter how you got over the line in this one. It just matters that you're now back over 500 for the first time in 5 weeks.
888-957-9570, 888-957-9570. That's the phone number to give us a call or shoot us a text. We'll be with you here until just about 11 o'clock on Warriors Wrap-Up tonight as the Warriors get the win over the Sacramento Kings, 117-113. The Warriors able to overcome in this one some pretty shoddy first-quarter defense. Jordan Poole and Andrew Wiggins, especially in the first half. Tonight, not the best game for Jordan Poole, but he's been playing better of late. The one thing that I fear, and only 20 minutes, and look, he's had some really good games, and we've praised him for that of late, and he had the real hot stretch coming back from the bubble. Tonight was one of those games where, hey, you wash it away, and we'll see what he's got for Tuesday night against Dallas. But the nights where he doesn't shoot the ball well, I just get concerned because the defense is a rough watch. And I just think, not in the context of tonight or the rest of this season, look, he's got to play. The Warriors need him. It's also part of his development, right? Like, they need his scoring boost and him playing pass or fail, good or bad. That helps his development for the future. But as far as projecting what he can provide on a team that has greater aspirations for next year, being a player that it's that rough a watch defensively on the nights where you don't score, that's where I think it could become a little bit more problematic for Steve Kerr to pencil him in as a firm cog in a rotation on a team where, hey, you want to be a top four team in the Western Conference or even contend for a championship if you're able to improve in other areas.
No, I think that's well said. And, you know, Jordan is still kind of figuring it out, right? And we've seen flashes, and like a lot of young players, he didn't come into the NBA anywhere near a finished product or just have all this natural skill. He's had to work, and we've seen him progress, and that's the good news around Jordan Poole. Compared to the guy that we saw when he first came into the league, it's like night and day, and we've seen spurts of him looking really, really good. Obviously, when he's hitting his three-pointer, he tends to look a lot better on both ends when he's scoring, because when he's not scoring, as you mentioned, it could be a bit of a rough watch. Look, they haven't had a real easy time finding any measure of continuity this year as far as rotations. I think Steve Kerr has done a really nice job with Jordan, like giving him consistent playing time and letting him know, like, hey, if you go out and you have a 1-for-7 night, it's cool. Like, we need you. We're not going to yank you out of the rotation. As long as you're putting forth effort on that end of the floor defensively, I think, you know, Steve Kerr is going to live with some of the ups and downs. I mean, really, he doesn't have a choice. But, you know, this franchise invested a first-round pick into this kid, and, you know, clearly they've tried to, you know, develop him in the G League, and he's shown the ability to get better. But I agree. Like, there's two separate conversations as it applies to Jordan Poole. It's, hey, what can you get from him the rest of this year? How much can he help you maybe try to exceed some expectations and make a little noise in the West? Versus, is this dude going to be a quality bench piece for a team with big aspirations next year? And so, you know, what he does the rest of this year will probably go a long way towards deciding how much he's a part of next year. But if they don't trade him this offseason, if he's not some part of some trade, JD, he'll be in the rotation. It's just, how much time are you going to get, and how deep is the Warriors' rotation? How many bodies does Steve Kerr have at his disposal to the point where if Poole's not going well, he's not in a situation where he kind of has to play him anyway? You hope that it's not the case, where if Poole's not playing well, then you don't have to play him, but you hope really for the best of both worlds, which is you got a deep bench, oh yeah, and you've got a really good Jordan Poole. So all options still on the table. He's just got to shake off nights like this and just be better against Dallas on Tuesday.
Yeah, the where I think it could be, you know, and part of this would be contingent on the Warriors obviously improving their roster, and we've talked a lot about the different ways that they can do that. But for the purposes of this conversation, for me, it's really, you know, it's more, are you going to be a guy that's in the rotation consistently? Like, he'll be on the team, but are you going to be one of those guys that's a 6-7-8 guy, or are you going to be one of those guys that some nights you're in it when Steve Kerr thinks the team needs an offensive boost, or he thinks maybe it's going to be more of a loosely played game, but on other nights maybe you're not going to be in it? And I think, you know, it's sort of akin to you know, Sean Livingston and Andre Iguodala, those guys were just in the rotation, right? Like, right. They were going to play every single night. Whereas, you know, a Nick Young, a Leandro Barbosa, you know, guys like that had key roles, but they weren't necessarily in the rotation every single night. So I think that's the distinction. It's too early to tell one way or another, but I could just see, you know, especially if Steve Kerr has some better options at his disposal next year as opposed to this year, and I think the Warriors hope that they do. You know, does Poole become almost in some ways a luxury item, and can he fit his game in that kind of a box and still be productive? Because I think you could actually make a case, given what we've seen to this point, that he's almost better off just being a guy that you have to play whether he's good or not, and he kind of needs that freedom to either, hey, I'm good tonight and I'm helping you and I'm scoring efficiently, or I'm not and I'm hurting you. Like, to me, I think he could get caught in a little bit of that in-between where being in the rotation some of the time and out of the rotation at other times, I actually think that could make him more out of the rotation than in, given the way that Steve Kerr typically likes to do things if he's got a full platter and complement of players.
So, wait, Jim Barnett was right. He is Swaggy P. I mean, there you go. But, no, I think, no, that's you're right. And, you know, look, he's going to get that, if that is his wish, just to, you know, and I'm imagining it is, he wants to be in the rotation. Regardless, he's going to be in the rotation the rest of the way. So,
yes, 100%.
He's going to at least get a chance. Yeah, and look, hopefully, JD, that culminates in some playoffs, in a playoff
series.
And he should
be. And he should Agreed. Be, by the way. Like, for this team, yeah. he should be.
And the other part, too, is young players should have the opportunity to grow and get better. Now, if you're just a bust and you don't have it, okay, cool. Then it was a bad pick and you move on and you take the L. But I think there's still enough promise and upside with Poole where you're going to ride this out and just kind of see where it goes heading into next season. Couple things, man. First of all, I want to get your take on two things. GP set two tonight coming in. First guy off the bench in the first quarter. Clearly it was Steve Kerr's intent on giving the Warriors a little bit of defensive identity out there because Sack was just going up and down the floor. I kind of like GP too, man. Like, place. All we hear is he's a great defender. He is. He's a really nice defender, but he could score a little bit. He was back cutting. So, what'd you think of Kerr's decision to do that? And then Tyrese Haliburton. I know you've watched a lot of Kings basketball this year. I'm really amazed. Tyrese Haliburton looks like he's been in the league 10 years.
Halliburton's terrific. And I know we've had the conversation. Haliburton was fourth on my draft board after Edwards and Wiseman and Ball. Like, those were the three that everybody knew was going to go top three. Haliburton, for me, was the next guy. Like, I think I think he's terrific. I think he would have been, under maybe some different circumstances, a perfect player for the Warriors. I mean, and again, I'm not saying they made the wrong pick or anything like that, but I'm just saying, could you imagine Haliburton on this Warriors team? I mean,
it'd be nice.
He'd be perfect. I mean, you could start him with Steph. He could back up Steph. I mean, he'd be outstanding. Now, again, what would that say about Jordan Poole at that point if that had been the case? And look, the Warriors are happy with Wiseman. I'm not even going there, so I don't want people to think that I am going there. I just think Halliburton's a terrific player. Very high on him. I actually think he's more of a winning player than even De'Aaron Fox is. And I know we don't need to get too far down the road on the opponent tonight, but there's a part of me that thinks Sacramento should blow the whole thing up and build it around Haliburton. And I mean the whole thing.
They might.
Like, trade Fox, Hield, everybody. And because I think he's a winning player. I think he's a winner. Like, he just does. He's a good player, and I think, you know, some players are good players, but they're not winning players. Some players are good players. I think he's a good player and a winning player. So I love Tyrese Haliburton. As far as GP, I don't know if that was in the plan for Steve Kerr.
I don't think it was. I think they were just playing like garbage, and he was like, I need some defense in there.
I think it was, I need somebody to go in there and check Buddy Hield and, like, get in, and because Buddy Hield was running free. And it was like open gym, and that's exactly where Buddy Hield thrives. Open gym, I'm going to shoot a bunch of threes, wide open, get real comfortable, and try to get my numbers. And I think Steve Kerr saw that and thought, I got to get somebody out there that wants to get into somebody defensively. And he did cool Buddy Hield down a little bit off the top there now, but he got going again and wound up having a pretty monster night offensively. But I like that move. Look, you got to play somebody. You know, when you're only basically playing eight, and it was basically eight and then those five Peyton minutes. But I thought he was great, and I think that's an underrated key aspect of the game, because I think he helped actually prevent it from getting worse, believe it or not, than what ended up being 39-32 at the end of the first quarter.
Yeah, and I think, too, it could, you know, I think another layer to this is, well, okay, you want Kelly Oubre to come off the bench, that's fine. Now you're starting defensive backcourt for the foreseeable future is Steph Curry and Michael Mulder, which is also a bit of a problem.
Yeah, no question. And so, you know, and look, I mean, that's where having a guy like Peyton with that skill set helps, because he can just get out there, and the one thing you know he can do is slow somebody down. And then, you know, like we talked about with Mulder, you know, in that particular role, at least initially, he gets to play with Steph. He gets to play with Draymond. He does seem to have a high offensive basketball IQ where he moves to the basket, and Draymond's found him a couple of times. He's gotten some easy buckets. You know, for a dude, he knocked down a three in the ball game tonight. So for a dude whose offensive game has been, you know, kind of the knock on him, he has been capable when he's been out there offensively, just in kind of doing some little things. So I think that's a great call by you, and an underrated. That was a, you know, 5 minutes and 30 seconds that were pretty key. And again, you may not look at it in the grand scheme of things and think it was a lot, but it really did help kind of either turn things, maybe not turn, but prevent it from getting completely out of hand.
Yeah, man, they were taking on water, and the ship didn't sink. I mean, I felt like, you know, when you looked up after that first quarter, Sack hung 39 on him in the first quarter. Like, the Warriors no-showed in the first quarter. This is on the heels of the team that put, what, a buck 41? What is 144, whatever the hell it was, last time they saw him. So you thought maybe you would have their attention straight out of the gate. Now, they ended up settling in defensively and finding their identity. But, yeah, I felt like the Warriors could have been down a whole hell of a lot more early in this game. I mean, like I said, Sac, I think their largest lead was 9 points. Kind of felt like it should have been more like 15 the way they were hitting their threes. But, and look, the Warriors were scoring too. So, you know, they were obviously able to kind of keep pace to a degree. But, yeah, man, I think that was kind of a big moment in this game. And, you know, just keeping it close. Sometimes that's all you got to do. Don't get run out of the gym too early where you have such a massive hole to climb out of.
To your point about the 141, I just looked it up because I was curious. So in that game where the Warriors gave up the 141 to Sacramento a month ago tonight, the four quarters for the Kings on that night, 35, 37, 34, 35. So the Kings didn't even score 39. And the first quarter was a worse quarter. You know, that was a better offensive quarter for the Kings and a worse defensive quarter for the Warriors than any of the four quarters in the game in Sacramento a month ago. And Steph and Draymond were playing in the game tonight and not playing in that game at all. So
right.
it was ugly. I mean, you said it, and I stopped short of it, although I kind of danced around it. They no-showed in the first quarter. I mean, it was everything that we talked about in the pregame. Hey, this might happen. You don't want this to happen. And they did it, but again, able to fight back and grind and get a win, and that's the most important thing.
Here, here. Yeah, and, you know, the other thing, too, for the Warriors, and I know we talked about it a little bit, turnovers are going to hurt this team. And look, 17 turnovers tonight. What's your number, JD, for turnovers? Like, what's an acceptable amount? Low teens? Below 13, like what's an acceptable amount? Because you creep in that 17 range, now all of a sudden, you know, doors open. Where's your number?
12 to 14. Yeah, yeah. 12 to 14 is probably about the number for me. If you're hanging on, because hopefully you've got, you know, you're pushing 30 assists.
Right.
And you're roughly in that, you know, maybe not 3-1, but you're, you know, 2.5-1, something like that. And so, yeah, I would say that's about, yeah, you want to be in that 12 to 14 range. So, you know, you look at tonight, 16, that's a few too many. The problem with the Warriors, though, is the types of turnovers. I mean, the problem is a lot of the Steph Draymond turnovers are just, what are you doing? For as all-time great as both of those guys are, I mean, and maybe that's part of it, right? You always think you can make that perfect play. So you go for that perfect play, but man, I mean, just it's the careless turnovers that lead to easy baskets the other way that are the killers, and the Warriors, when they're not playing well, have far too many of those.
Right, and it almost seems like when they go through stretches where, you know, the other team goes on a run, usually it's culminated with some Warriors turnovers and those empty possessions. Like, and those are just killers, because that, you talk about, you know, 4-point swings, 5-point swings, like those are the kind of things that will have you look up and you're like, wait, how are we down 10? How are we down 12? Like, and when it's where you're committing bad turnovers, because it's also kind of hard to get back on your horse defensively. It's just those kind of turnovers, those live ball, unforced error turnovers are just so deflating for a team. So, and again, like, on a night where they get 30-plus assists, you know, you can usually you can live with it. They were kind of teetering, and you know, 7 turnovers for Steph. I chalked that up to a little bit of fatigue, too. And look, I'm certainly not coming down Steph's road. I mean, Steph's playing his ass off. Obviously set the record tonight for most 3-pointers in a month. Broke James Harden's record tonight. So clearly Steph Curry's polishing off what's been a pretty memorable April. But, man, they ask a lot of this guy. And he's, you know, battled through a couple of nicks and bruises and, you know, ankle twists along the way, too. So putting the finishing touch. Still got a couple games left, too, this month, by the way. So he's not done. He's going to go ahead and expand on that record. But, man, what a run for Steph. I do think a little tired, but, again, totally understandable.
Yeah, absolutely. And he passed James Harden and hit 82. So Curry passed him tonight. Curry, 48% on threes this month to pass Harden, and still 2 games to go. Harden shot 39% in the month that he made the 82, which Curry passed tonight. So, I mean, think about that just for a little bit of context. I mean, it's one thing. And look, if that's not, I mean, that's, it's just, it's the efficiency. Look, the three-pointers are great, but Steph's, he's making more, and he's doing it at a basically a 10% clip better.
Yeah, and this month, I mean, the numbers just jump off the page, JD. In this month, he's shooting 53% from the floor, 47% on threes, over 38 points a game. Also chipping in 6.5 rebounds and 4.5 dimes a night as well. This is MVP caliber output by Steph Curry this month. And, you know, it's he was already having a really nice year, but now it's he's on a whole nother level lately.
Yeah, he's on a whole other level, and two more games to go, and the rate that he's been shooting them, I mean, he already passes Harden, so the rate he's going, he might hit 14 or 15 more in the next couple
of
games.
He can hit 100 in a month.
And go for 100 in a month. Exactly, and just, you know, hey, previous record, 82. New record, 101.
That's Curry style. Nobody ever had 300 threes in a year. Let me hit 400.
Let me hit 400. Yeah, exactly. No problem. And the Warriors needed every one of his 7 three-pointers in this ball game tonight. Let's do who's hot and who's not, and then we'll look ahead and we'll call it a night. Who's hot, who's not, sponsored by Exergen, because accuracy matters. Who you got tonight? Either one, hot,
you know,
or
who's
not.
Hot,
I'm going to give you the first call.
Yeah, we haven't talked about him tonight in the post game. I'm going to go with Juan Toscano-Anderson. I mean, Steph is clearly deserves it. Draymond, it's too easy. Even Kevon Looney with the putbacks, he did his thing. But I like JTA's game tonight yet again. 5 of 8 from the floor, 5 dimes, 4 rebounds. Ends up with 10 points. Just another heady game for him. I love him in transition. I thought Juan Toscano-Anderson, just he gives this team a little bit of swagger. He does. And so and I think him and Steph have got a really nice rapport too. You can just tell, like, these guys love playing with him. And I heard him on the post-game interview. He literally said, "I play like there's no tomorrow. I play like nothing's promised to me." And it's just, I just love that about him. So that's my who's hot tonight.
Yeah, JTA, that's a great call tonight. I think Gary Payton II gets a nod tonight
for
his 5 minutes.
Yes, sir.
His 5 minutes and 30 seconds. He had 7 points in 5 minutes, and he knocked down a three, and he played good defense there. Good call for you as far as Juan Toscano-Anderson. Steph, it's just implied for him. As far as who's not, it's a one-game sample. We'll throw Jordan Poole in there tonight, but we won't belabor it. 1 of 5, 4 points in 20 minutes. On to the next. And I think you look at Jordan Poole, and the one thing about him is he's shown an ability to really bounce back when he hasn't played well, or hasn't played well for a couple of games. He was able to do that these last 5 or 6 games, which I think has been key. And the last thing I had here that I wanted to get to, and I appreciate you mentioning JTA because it plays into the final thing I had on my list that we hadn't got to tonight. New finishing lineup for the Warriors. It was Curry, Oubre Wiggins, Juan Toscano-Anderson, and Draymond Green. Now, Looney could be a part of that maybe some nights. I think if it's not JTA, I think Poole, if he's having a good shooting night, could maybe be a part of that, and you go small with more offense. Maybe JTA's out. Maybe Oubre, if he's struggling, is out on a given night there. Steve Kerr, he's got some options now, but this closing lineup, what did you think of it? For me, it defensively, it gave them their best chance to get enough stops down the stretch once the Kings had kind of gotten rolling. But this is almost the defensive igniter lineup that Steve Kerr can go to.
Yeah, the thing that comes to mind is defensive versatility. I mean, that's, you know, you're obviously lacking some size, but, you know, this team has shown in the past to, you know, they can have plenty of success when Draymond playing the five during crucial stretches of basketball games. And, yeah, I mean, you know, Steph's obviously going to be out there, two-way Wiggs, you know, for the most part, because he's, you know, his defense on other wings. And if you leave Wiggins unoccupied, you know, he can slash and create his own shot. Oubre, the same thing. So, you know, those guys are both good options, or they can, you know, on their night, they can hit their threes, and you need Draymond. The Juan Toscano-Anderson thing is good, too, because, again, like, He just gives you defensive versatility, and he gives you high IQ, too. And, like, you know, in, in closing lineups, I mean, we've seen the Warriors. They've had some kind of brain fart moments in closing moments and cost them games. Like, just having another dude out there that's going to stay calm and just make the right basketball play. That's a, maybe I think that's an aspect that we don't talk about enough, or maybe an underappreciated aspect, because you think, well, it's the highest level, right? Well, you know, not always. These guys don't always make the right basketball play. Juan Toscano-Anderson's going to make the right basketball play. Steve Kerr trusts him. So, yeah, I like Looney. Could be an option out there, too, if you want to go with a little more size, put Draymond at the four. But Juan Toscano-Anderson, I got no problem with that. I like that closing lineup, as a matter of fact. I like it a lot.
There's options there. The intelligence, I think, is big. And the defense, there's a little bit of an edge to it. And again, there's other options. If you want to go to Poole one night, if you want to put Damian Lee in there, or Bazemore maybe to plug it in. I mean, for a team that basically has eight or nine guys right now on a good night, Steve Kerr's finding ways to make it work and finding some different lineups with some different skill sets to kind of guide this team through. I think he deserves a lot of credit for making a lot out of hey, not a lot in terms of overall bodies here, and that could be a key component for the Warriors to make this push over these final 11 games. Good stuff tonight, my man. We're back tomorrow. Full final word, 6 until 10. Looking forward to that. We got a busy week ahead, brother, with the Warriors playing Tuesday and Thursday and Saturday, and the NFL draft this week coming up on Thursday. This week is going to be a hell of a lot of fun, man, with the Niners and obviously the Warriors as we continue this coverage of this playoff run. So looking forward to tomorrow, and we'll talk to you then. Good stuff, brother.
Yeah, no doubt. You too, baby. Good all. Nice work all weekend, JD. Don't sleep on the 14-8 Giants either. And, yeah, man, Steve Kerr deserves a lot of credit. I think he promised that this run was coming for this team this year. It's been coming. Obviously, they got to keep it rolling. Looking really forward to Tuesday night against the Mavericks. That's a big-time game for this team. So, yeah, man, we'll be there for all of it. 6 to 10 tomorrow night. We'll talk to you then, player.
All right, so 6 to 10 tomorrow night for Ryan Covey. I'm John Dickinson. We're also back Tuesday. Should let everybody know that's an earlier tip on Tuesday night, 6:30 tip. So we'll be on with Warriors Live at 5 o'clock for that one. Jim Barnett will join us for Warriors Live, as we'll have that for you then. For Sterling, for Sam, we appreciate the help of one and all. Arden doing a great job in the studio as well. Thanks to all of them. Again, we'll talk to you tomorrow. Warriors get the win tonight, 117-113 over the Kings, and you heard it right here on 95.7 The Game.